Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, it is a pleasure to be here, and I am honoured to come and share with you and with my wife, because I love doing ministry together. That is just the bee's knees, and being able to do this together is such a joy. And as Pastor Graham was sharing, we've had nothing is ever wasted, really, because of my journey as a nurse. And for me to have a good day, someone had to have a really bad day. But it was such a privilege being able to look after people at their most vulnerable. And then as a pastor, partnering with parents to help form a spiritual foundation. And now I help people relationally, and it's a real privilege. And I've been the beneficiary of Focus on the Family with our kids. So it's been really, really exciting to do that. And Kate, well, she's got another story.
Which story is that?
What you're doing now.
There are many to pick from. We have three sons. They are actually 22, nearly 20 and 18 now. So we have done this transition with them as well. Our second son has actually gone with Brett a couple of times and been with him as he's spoken. Here they are. You can tell they are actually his sons. Taylor, Lachlan, Cameron. So TLC, Tender Love and Care. Done on purpose, because my dad actually used to say, we came from three girls. Girls, treat each other with tender love and care. Clearly we weren't. And it didn't quite work, so I thought, you know, second time round, let's make it work this time. So these are our three sons. Two are in uni and Cam's in year 12, just about to come out the other side. We're very excited by that. So these young men, I feel absolutely privileged. I was told I couldn't have children. So these are my miracle sons. So these are just the best things ever. So much fun. A lot of hard work, as we all know parenting is. Doesn't just happen. A lot of hard work, a lot of prayer. So these are our fine young men that we are privileged to parent.
And I guess we're saying all of that because I love Focus on the Family, obviously. I'm very biased towards Focus on the Family, but this is our greatest ministry right here.
Yep.
And whatever you are, that's your greatest ministry. You can have all the bells and whistles and every accolades, but unless this is going well, nothing else is important. So this is their greatest joy. Focus on the Family has been part of Australia for about 25 years, and we obviously heard on the radio, and Jean and Eric are really very much a part of that, and I love partnering with them. And I remember being interviewed at the job, and they mentioned this woman by the name of Jean, and that you'll probably get to know her very quickly. So I came out of the interview, and next thing you know, I get hugged by this stranger. And I said, I assume you must be Jean. And so I've been genified quite often, and sometimes they need some oxygen, and but you certainly know you've been loved and cared for both Jean and Eric. But we've also been doing things. I mean, you're never too sure who's going to be listening through the radio, and we have, as I said, been the recipients of that, and it's such a privilege being heard in someone's car or someone's kitchen or on the online, hearing some helpful advice, whether it's the Family Minute or our broadcasts. And we get emails or telephone calls. Not very often. It's interesting. People take it for granted. We love getting feedback about how it's helped people, because we were, I remember Kate hearing James Dobson many, many years ago and gave a helpful tip at that time, and it was just the right time. And so it's been a privilege to be able to do that. And because you may have heard this before, but I have a face for radio, so it actually works out really well. And last year we tried in the area of television. I know you wouldn't have seen it here in metropolitan area, but in urban areas and regional areas, we did these commercials called Back to the Table. And they were just encouraging families to disconnect from technology and reconnect around the family mealtime. And we thought they would be played in the wee small hours. No one's ever going to see them. I ended up playing them in prime time. And we thought, well, I'll just play them for a small while. Well, they've been playing since May of last year, and they continue to be played. Such an incredible reach of about 7 million people have been hearing and getting these tips. So we're actually launching a new commercial next week, and it's about, it's never too early to talk to your kids about the real issues at an age-appropriate level before society does. And that's talking about drugs and alcohol and pornography and sex and grief and trauma. In fact, we've actually produced a series of cards. And everyone likes something for free? Anyone like something for free? If you know a family, we've got a whole bunch of all these for everyone who would like to have them. And these are just some talking points that you can give to your neighbour or yourself or your grandchildren or whatever you'd like. These are some talking points. And so we do a lot of things on providing free resources so we can actually see more Australian families thrive. And I love doing it, and I love doing things with my wife, and we do seminars like this and parenting seminars, which we love the best, and marriage seminars. But we also been heard on the radio, but we also provide some DVDs. I'm going to show you a short clip of a DVD, and it's called Irreplaceable. And it looks at the state of families across the globe. It goes for about 2 minutes. And these are available for half price just for you.
Family is crumbling and falling apart. We can see that everywhere we look. Broken family is everywhere. And that's why I'm going on this journey. To travel to the ends of the earth if necessary, to find out what is wrong with the family.
This idea that you're supposed to separate emotion from sex.
It hasn't created the freedom that was promised. It's actually made a culture of slaves.
We live in a consumer society, and that has been translated into relationships.
Our culture is so much about me and the individual. We should be encouraging a world where men and women embrace their roles as parents.
Boys need these models of manhood, of how to be a man, and they're losing out on that by not having their fathers involved in their lives.
When you have that cultural attitude that fathers don't necessarily play a unique and irreplaceable role in their children's lives, us dads ourselves often underestimate how important our role is.
I don't want that. I don't want it for my kids. I don't want it for anybody. I set out on a journey to find out what's wrong with the family. I never realized how much of an impact it'd have on me.
What do you think a father can do to be a better father?
It's easy to blame a lot of other outside factors, but I find it is my own selfishness, my own desires, my own laziness, you know, that can tend to get in the way of giving myself away to my children, to my spouse.
I got lost. I was blind. I've come so far in life only because I had so far to go.
The Bible has taught me not to change anybody else, because I can't change anybody else, but I mean, it's taught me how to change me.
I want to be there for my kids, for my wife. Not just physically present, but really there for them. Really loving them.
I love that scene when the father was asked what he could do better, and he's talking about his selfishness, and his wife goes... But that just makes sure we can point our finger at other people and say, you don't have it together, I've got it all together, but really it keeps the mirror close to our own face about how we are doing in our roles as husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, sisters, brothers... And really, as at the end, that woman who was talking about, the Bible has taught me that I can't change anyone else, she actually found freedom while she was incarcerated in prison. It's an amazing story. It looks at the sanctity of life. It looks at the importance of fatherhood. And it's well worth having a look at. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 13. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version, John chapter 13. And this is just before the Last Supper, Jesus is talking in. This is a really significant time. Judas has just betrayed him. And Jesus said this, and I love it. I don't know, I'm reading from my phone, but I got it converted so I can actually see red writing. I don't know, ever since I was a kid, I've always liked red writing. Is anyone else like that? I still get excited when I see red writing. And especially when I was little, I used to, you know, if I was bored with ministry, you know, like not all the time, but, you know, sometimes. And I looked for the pages that had the most red writing, because I really knew that that's what Jesus was talking about. That's what he said. So it was worthy of having an extra read. And I'm reading from chapter 31. Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and it will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. A bit of a shock to everyone. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. It's a bit of a mystery to them what he was saying. But he actually said this. Now you've got to remember at the time that they had gone through the journeys and they knew that there were 630 commands, then it went down to 10 commands. And actually he's saying, I'm going to give you a new commandment. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for your gift of your son Jesus for each and every one of us. And I pray a blessing upon this, our message today as we share this. And I pray that we do the very best of our abilities to actually show the importance of loving one another, because then we are known to be your disciples. In Jesus' most wonderful name, amen.
Conflict is something that we all have to deal with. Just going to share a quick story about one of my sons. Well, it's not one, it's quite a few of them. If you've ever got a child who plays sport, you're going to have a coach. If you've ever had a coach, you know that some of them are not great. And some of them are not only not great, but they're horrible. They're put there for all sorts of reasons, but nonetheless, they can be dreadful. We have a saying in our house, don't mess with the mama bear. So when coaches of this nature, I've been a PE teacher, and so when I come across parents in sport or coaches in sport that just defile what a true coach should look like, it makes me wild because the damage it can do to a child. And so we came across many a coach, and I can tell you it made me angry. Now, did I act on that anger? No, I didn't, and that's a story for another time. James Dobson, message on the radio at the right time. And so those kind of negative things, you know, really revile us and get our ire up. And so conflict is, we can choose to go at it head on, or we can step back and take a look at it. The other one is when our kids are given positive words. Positive over our kids, just our hearts swell. Our youngest had gone through a very difficult time. He moved into another school. One of the teachers actually just came up to him, put his hand on his shoulder and said, "You are a great young man." And I just thought, not a Christian guy, but just saw that he was doing it tough and put his hand there. And I'm going, that's going to make me cry.
It's not far away from tears come at a moment's notice, and just be aware.
This is a mother thing, you know. This is really a mother's thing. You know, when your kids hurt, you hurt. When your kids are happy, you're ecstatic. You know, it's one of those things, you travel the road with them. And so it's really important that we walk those in a very stable way and we don't get too caught up. But when I talk about them, having walked through them, it's the conflict inside ourselves that we need to deal with.
So basically she's saying those times when someone messes with her, you know, it's easy to hate or not like the people who are picking on my kids, but I love it when someone does something positive for my kids. And that's like our Heavenly Father as well. He loves us when we get along. He loves it when those type of things, when he shows value and concern and compassion for one another. But when we have any situation where we have two or more people together, we're going to have potential for conflict. We're going to have potential for misunderstanding, miscommunication, and that's inevitable, whether that's with your husband and wife, whether it's with your kids, with your parents, whether it's with your school, whether it's with your coach, whether it's at your work situation, whether it's with your neighbours, or whether it's even in the church. Maybe not this church, but other churches have conflict. We have this situation where there is always going to be a possibility for conflict. And it should be, you know, like, and often with teenagers particularly, they might say things like, "I'm not talking back, I'm trying to explain." Or alternatively, they might say, "I'm not arguing, I'm explaining why I am right." Does anyone relate to that type of thing? Has anyone not been in any conflict? We've all been in the situation. Even Christians get into conflicts. And we need to be able to manage this well. And it may be a simple message that we're going to be sharing with you, but it's a message that we can constantly need to be reminded of about how we should resolve conflicts healthily. Why do we have conflicts? Well, there's a verse in the Bible that says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You don't get something and you want to kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight." Sound familiar? Not getting your own way? We think kids do this, and they might have like, you know, 10, you know, toys in front of them, and one person comes along and wants to get one of the toys, and they go, my toys. It's mine. That type of thing. And we see somebody else with something, and we want that. Not getting our own way. And many wars have started that way. Many conflicts in marriages have started away because they're not getting something they want, and we have the situation. So we're going to give you four tips. Only four. It's not exhaustive by any shape of, in any shape or form. But we're going to give you four tips that hopefully by the end of today, you'll actually be able to put some of these things into practice, because we all need a little bit of help about how to resolve conflicts healthily. So I'm going to actually ask two volunteers. You're going to be right up here. Dave and Merrin. Greg, can you come up here? All right. And Pastor Graham, can I get you to do me a favour? You can be the mediator right in the middle. And all you have to do is hold something. All right? So just, you can come down here if you like. That's fine. You're just there. All right? And so, Kate, you can go on Dave's side. And I'll go on Merrin's side. Can I get you to just hold that up over here? All right? That's all I want you to do. You can hold that up. You can stay on this side so you can see the crowd as well, you know. And I'll be on Merrin's team. All right? So just holding it up. All right, and I want you to just tell everyone what that colour is.
Orange.
Orange.
Okay, that's fair enough. Would you agree with that? That's orange? Yeah, okay.
But, oh.
You know when they say don't work with children and animals? We should add another person to the list, senior pastor. All right. All right, just that, okay?
So, Dave, what colour is that?
That is yellow.
All right.
You sure?
Very yellow.
What about you, Merrin? It's
orange.
All right. And you can imagine this, they can keep on going backwards and forwards. And I know you've already spoiled the punchline. Thank you very much, Pastor Graham. But you can imagine this going oscillating in between husband and wife. They can get so uptight and so infuriated. And then so Merrin goes and sees Chris. And you go and tell her a story and go, can you believe it?
He thinks it's yellow. It's orange.
And you get involved, and then you start this little bit of a collective club, and then you're the orange team.
And of course, we can tell that it's yellow, so they're wrong. So perspective-wise, they've got issues. Our perspective is right on cue. No, not just about this. Other things, absolutely. Yeah. Draw them all in. Clearly, all their perspectives.
And Dave could then start sort of accusing, you know, Merrin of being, getting emotional and using all the different things. And really, what it actually could have easily been resolved is that we're going to be the grown-ups. All right, Merrin, we'll go over and have a look at from his perspective. So we go along. Yep. I was a kids pastor. I didn't have this much problem. All right. So, Merrin, what is that colour?
It's yellow.
Right. And so you start looking at it. And then and now Dave's been given a good example about real adulthood. He goes around to the other side.
Go figure.
And what colour is that, Dave?
Yellowish-orange.
Give them a round of applause. Man, it didn't work well in practice because we didn't practice. So we have this thing about you're right, I'm right, and and we get into this argument of different things. And really, these four tips that we can actually have is going to be, we're going to have to start looking at it from a biblical point of view. A biblical point of view, and there's so many different references that are talking about make every effort to live in peace with everyone. So it's going to take effort to live in a conflict-free zone. And we can't avoid conflict, but we can actually process it healthily. And especially as mums and dads, your kids are watching how you resolve conflicts, because they're going to take those lessons that they observe from you and take it into their relationships and their working relationships. So if you have conflict in front of your kids, which sometimes happens, you need to be actually resolve the conflict in front of the kids.
That actually is tougher when they're older, because when they're little, you can kind of just wander away and have a bit of a discussion. When they're older, they pick up like that if there's something off. My middle son, my second son, is just, he's 19, but he's about 50. Immaturity-wise, he's just an old man. And we were having you know, a discussion one time, and we kind of said, you know, we're talking, you know, leave us alone. We're in the bedroom, we're talking, and he just kind of waltzes in. And we go, we're talking. He goes, yes, there's clearly a problem, but if I don't stay and watch this, how am I going to resolve things with my future wife? he goes, I need to know what you're discussing so that I don't go down the same path, so we don't have the same problems. It's absolutely hilarious, and this happens all the time. If we're having intense fellowship, we'll get out of the car. I'll say to him, we better sort this out right now. We walk in the house, Locke's going to go, what's wrong? And sure, we sort it out, we get in, but you can be just slightly off. And he goes, something's gone on. And he goes, I'm thinking a date is in place. You need to set a date. Go now. We'll make dinner. Out the door you go. A date is necessary. It's so funny. So, you know, we teach our kids. You've got to teach your kids how to pick up on cues. And so it's really important that we are role modelling everything. So we need to role model how to resolve conflict and do it healthily. And we have always said, you know, you need to go away and talk about it and get back on the same page. And so if there's an ounce of not being on the same page, he is all over it. And so it keeps you, you know, checks and balances. You've got to be on the same page nearly all the time because they're watching. So you need to get it right.
And it's interesting how we can wear masks. We could even, you might have even driven today and had some conflict on the way here, or intense fellowship, as we like to call it. And then, you know, it's like, we've got to put our masks on. I'm fine. I'd rather die. That type of thing. And really, we need to actually do this in a really healthy way. There's some more verses it talks about, you know, in 1 Corinthians, it says, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. He's talking about the people of the church. So even in church circles, you can have conflict. And we have to live in harmonious thing. But the verse before it says, live at peace with everyone. And you might say, well, have you met my husband? Have you met my boss? Do you know my teacher? Have you seen my sister? You know, we can actually live, but it takes effort. And it's actually saying, encouraging everyone to live at peace, even those people who aren't so lovely back. We have this situation where we need to look at things, as I said, see things from another person's perspective. And I reckon so many conflicts could be resolved expediently if we actually take the moment, slow down, and just say, oh, that's what you were saying. Which brings us to the second part. There's a verse in the Bible which you know pretty well, James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. When it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. You know, we have this situation where we're not really wired to listen quickly. We like to speak. And I remember I was in a grade 6 class doing a CRE class, and they were getting a bit restless, and I said, okay, everyone, just be quiet. And all these kids went like this. I thought, that's amazing. That's so cool. I said, where did you learn that? I said, it was my prep teacher. And the prep teacher said, whenever we're noisy, we have to cover our lips so it makes us stop talking and actively listen. So I know this is going to become a bit of a shock to many of you, but I often get I like to talk. And so I've learned, and you might see me every now and then put my fingers over my lips. And the bonus is I don't speak. Makes me concentrate, and it actually makes me look much more intelligent. We've got two eyes, one mouth. We should use those in proportions. Listen more attentively. And many parents come up to me after a parenting seminar and I say, my kids never listen to me. And I say to them, well, do you listen to them? It's a challenge that we have, because we can actually have these active conversations, and it's more like monologues rather than dialogues. Because we're not actually willing to listen. And that could be in the marriage, could be as your kids, could be in your boss, your neighbours, your teachers. We're not actively listening. And that's a lesson that we all could use a little bit of help with, being able to actively listen.
And it's how we say things. There can be tones, there can be body language. A whole lot of things send a message. What message are we trying to send? if we are closed up when people are trying to address things in our life or communicate something with us, and we have got this closed body thing, we've got arms crossed or we've got a snarl on our faces, we have to be open when people say things to us. Now, does that mean we take on everything? No, it doesn't. And that's a story. So I'm going to share a story. It's quite a recent story, and it was quite a difficult story. We were going through something, and I had been praying and seeking God about how to handle this situation. I had shared with a close friend about what I was going through and what God was doing, and that I still wasn't there yet. And in the midst of that, she sent me an email which absolutely pounded me. You should be doing this. You've done that. You need to step out and you need to do this. And I sat there and I read this and I just cried. Then I got angry because this was a very close friend. And it could have gone either way. I don't know that Brett was around, but my second son was. And so I'm sitting in bed and I go, how dare she? I opened myself up. I shared with her about where I was at, and she just dumped on me. Anyway, my son, he goes, oh, what did she say? And I said, oh, you don't need to read it. But of course, you know, when I went to sleep, he read it. And he came in the next morning and he said, I see why you're upset. This is why you teach your kids how to handle things, because when they get older, they come back at you. I see why you're upset. Was there anything in there that was truth? What was the truth? Was there one piece of truth that you could work on? I can see that there's a whole lot of stuff that wasn't true, inaccurate, etc. But was there one truth? I said, there's probably one. And he goes,
maybe
then
more.
Deal with that. Let the rest go. In the meantime, I had written a very angry email, as you do when you're fired up. I wrote a very angry email, which I thought I did not send. He said, because he read the email I wrote, and he goes, yeah, I wouldn't send that. That's going to be a problem. And I go, yeah, I know it's not. I'm not going to send it, but I just had to get it all out there. It's sent. She received it. I received another email, and I'm like, uh-oh. And at that point, I could have lost a very dear friend. So, you know, I went, oh, dear. Got on my phone. I said, would you be prepared to talk? That email was not meant to be sent. It was done in anger. What I said was a whole lot of anger thoughts, not what I actually really think when I'm calm. And can we talk? We got on the phone, we talked, all was resolved. She apologised for all the inaccuracies that she had sent. I had apologised for my anger out of turn, and we resolved it. And I actually did what she suggested, that one thing. And what a difference that made. Now, that's where we have to look at conflict and go, our first reaction when somebody challenges us is to defend. We react, we don't respond. We defend our territory. We don't open up and go, you know, they might be right on this. That's not our first response. It might be our second, but it's not our first. And so we have to be really careful that we open ourselves up, because there are wise people who do hear what, you know, about, you know, from God, what is happening in our lives. I am not saying just let anybody speak into your life. I'm saying people with wisdom, who you know that you can trust and who want the best for you. Husbands and wives, they all in all, they want what's best for their husband or wife. And so you have to come back to that. If you're in intense fellowship, you do want the best for the other person. You want the best for your marriage. Right now you're disagreeing on something, but the bottom line is, do you want the best? And the answer is yes. So you've got to keep coming back to, we are on the same page, we've just got to find a way to get back there. And the same with my girlfriend. We had to find a way to get back there. But in the same time, we had something that we had to learn, both of us. We both learned something, and God was good, and he unfolded an amazing scenario. But we have to trust that people who speak into our lives are not always there just to annoy us. We think they are, but they're not. Like the coaches who are hideous, our kids learn stuff from that. We can teach them how to learn stuff from that. As parents, we need to teach our kids how to handle conflict. It's not all bad. It's not. And they need to learn how to do it in a healthy way. One of my sons was at school. A kid absolutely bagged Christianity. Now, he goes to a government school. He did it in an oral, in a public place. And he got so angry. He got madder than a meat axe. Everybody around him's going, why isn't the English teacher stopping this? You know, it was an absolute thrashing of Christianity. The guy afterwards, he'd been looking at Cam the whole time. Afterwards, he says, can we talk? My son's first response was, get away from me. He gets in the car and tells me this. I said, honey, that was probably the perfect time as a Christian. You could have gone, sure, let's talk. But anger, the reviling straight away, how dare you attack me, what I believe in, how dare you? So it took 2 weeks to talk this through. Darling, he's entitled to his opinion. Was it handled well? No, it wasn't. Did you handle it well? No, you didn't. Was that what that boy said hurtful? Yes, it was. Acknowledge everything. Acknowledge the process you're going through to get there. It is all part of the process. So the whole idea of acknowledging that he was hurt, acknowledging that that boy got out of hand, acknowledging that the teacher could have handled it better. All of this is part of the process of how to handle a hurtful situation. It took 2 weeks. I said, darling, you need to pray for that young man because he doesn't know God like you know God. But you need to also pray that you forgive that young man for hurting you. Anyway, by the end of every second day I'd bring it up. You know, give him a day to think about it. And every second day, have you thought about that young man? No. By the end of 2 weeks, because I said to him, what you really need to do is say, whatever his name was, John, you know what? I was really hurt by what you said, but you actually are entitled to your opinion. Let's move on. Shake his hand, move on. The end of the 2 weeks, he comes home from school, he said, I did what you said. Went up, shook his hand, said, you're entitled to your opinion. Let's move on. Let's just not hold this against each other. And I said, did you feel better? He goes, no, I'd already moved on. And I said to him, yes, but he hadn't. And he needed to know that you forgave him. He hadn't moved on. He was actually quite scared because my son's quite big. And we actually heard from the well-being person that this young guy was scared that our son might do something. And I said, you going up to him, you released him, you freed him, even though you'd moved on. So we need to, give forgiveness and allow to move on.
Which leads on to the third one, is about our anger and how we can control it. And a good example is about that. We can be quick to get there and we need to be actually control our anger, because we actually hear kids say this, he made me do it, or she made me angry. These types of things, and we've all said these type of things, no one can make you do anything, because it's your choice how you do that. And remember the verse where it says, don't let the sun go down your wrath. When we've had intense fellowship, when we used to do that, we used to try and resolve the issue before the sun go down, but then we noticed that it was well and truly down and it was going past midnight, and some of the words that come out of our mouth are not really legible, or, you know, and they don't say the right things. And so we realized that when we did that, we were actually trying to resolve an issue that couldn't be resolved in the light of the day. And we got to dark and it wasn't getting any better. So we've learned that when we do that, that verse where it says, don't let the sun go down in your wrath, we actually are saying, let's take the sting out of the battle. Let's take out the tension and resolve these issues. And we need to make sure that, you know, that our words are very powerful and acknowledge that. You know that saying where it sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? I mean, I've put plasters around many a kid and you know, it'll get better. But I've heard people get words taken over and it doesn't take 6 weeks. It doesn't take 6 months. It could take 6 years and ongoing, because those words that were said in haste and in the moment can do a lot of damage. We have to be very careful with our words. The last thing we're going to look about is this power of forgiveness. And Kate's alluded to that as well, about the ability to forgive somebody. But it's not only just asking for forgiveness, it's actually, you know, giving forgiveness. Our boys are sort of like, you know, very early on when you try and teach them to say sorry, they say things like, I'm sorry. It doesn't really have the heart behind it, would you agree? It doesn't really have the meaning behind it. We need to, as we've said here, the power of forgiveness, these verses, as God has forgiven us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Or Colossians, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. These things that we need to do, these tips, these keys, if you like, we need to learn to be able to not only see in a conflict situation that we need to see it from another person's point of view. We need to be actively listening. We need to actually control our anger. And we need to have the power of forgiveness. And an incredible, powerful thing, those words, I am really sorry. Would you please forgive me? The tone of your voice, the volume of your voice sets up for good dialogue. But if we're yelling and screaming and being like a monologue, no one's going to be listening because no one's actually listening. And your kids are going to observe this as well, because when an adult actually comes up and says, I am really sorry, because sometimes my wife sent me to my room to get my act together. It's very humbling, that. And I'd have to come out and apologize to my kids, and I might start laughing and then have to go back to my room again and come out. But the ability to actually say, I am really sorry, is a great example for our kids, that they can actually own things when they need to own it. Because otherwise they'll keep on blaming the teacher, their boss, their sisters, their brothers, the world. It's always somebody else's fault. But if you can actually start teaching the idea of, I am really sorry, would you please forgive me? It's a very, very powerful thing. Now, many a time you only may be 5% at fault and the other person is 95% at fault. But you still need to own that 5%.
It's respect for each other. Respect, and that includes a lot of things. It includes... The words you say to each other, you have to respect that person, even in the moment where you're angry. We had a very hard and fast rule in our family that the boys were never to disrespect each other. They were never allowed to say, you're stupid, you're an idiot, or shut up. It was personal, it was offensive, and it was not going to happen. So the boys were never, ever allowed to speak to each other like that. And if they did do one of the I'm sorry scenarios, it was a no, see, that's not on. You need to own your words. You need to own your behaviour. And you need to do it with a contrite heart. So you need to do it with such meaning so that your brothers know, I'm so sorry. Can you please forgive me? And then I would actually get them to say what they're asking forgiveness for so that they knew what they'd done. What is it you did? Did you break something? Did you hurt them with your words? What was it that you are asking forgiveness for? Because being a teacher, how many times do we see our kids use others as scapegoats? It's always someone else's fault. I don't have the right uniform on. Mum didn't wash it. I don't have this. I couldn't do my homework because of this. And it goes on and on and on. And we need to learn to own what we say, what comes out of our mouth, and how we treat somebody else. It is not okay to dump on the people you love. Don't give your best to the workplace and come home and you're exhausted and everybody in your house just gets the worst of you. Everybody, you need to control your mouth. It is like that little rudder on the ship. The smallest member can turn a whole ship, and your words can be destructive. So be really careful when you speak, because in arguments we say things we regret. It is with us I will actually go for a walk. If there's something going on that I'm really angry about, I will say to him, we're going to discuss this, but I need to go for a walk.
I hate those words.
He hates that. But I go for a walk first and I pray about it and I think about it and I think, am I right or am I wrong? What are the perspectives? What is he hearing? What am I hearing? And what is God going to say if I respond in this way? And then I get back and then we can talk about it. But to try and force a conversation in the heat of the moment is not always the wisest choice, because things can be said that are not healthy.
The great commandment where it says, love God, love others. Loving God is pretty easy. But do we really do it? Do we really love God? Because if we genuinely love God, we're going to be growing in our love for him. And as a net result of that love for him, we're actually going to be able to actually show love to others. Now, we have all failed. We've all fallen short of our ideal, where no one is perfect. But we're on this imperfect world at the moment, trying to do the very best we can. And with God's help, we can actually achieve those things. Sometimes we need to slow down. We need to see things in a situation where conflict is inevitable, but take a back seat. And sometimes when we know where our anger is rising, as Kate has shared, sometimes we need to take a step back. Sometimes we actually need to see it from another person's perspective. Sometimes we need to actively listen a lot more than just keep on speaking. And then we need to have the humility and the courageous step to actually ask for forgiveness. And even more still, to actually receive that forgiveness and then actually give that forgiveness. It's a very challenging time when we actually have conflict. And especially as Christians, your work colleagues are looking for you. Your neighbours are looking at you. And, you know, as soon as you make a mistake, they go, there. We don't want to have that. Because remember that verse that we shared before at the beginning where it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And as a result of that love, you will be known to be my disciples. There should be something special about us. Everything we go, any interaction, there should be something special about us. And we'll be known because of our love. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to actually fall numerously. But we need to show great example to our kids, show great compassion and love and understanding to our spouses, our neighbours, our colleagues, our teachers. There are so many opportunities to show Christ's love. And as Kate was sharing at the beginning, you know, it's easy, you know, to love people who come along and support and encourage our kids. It's a lot harder to love those people who are hard and harsh. And that's our Heavenly Father is actually saying, I don't like it when my kids don't get along well with each other. But I love it when they play well with each other. It brings joy to my heart. And I'm sure in a room this size, there'll be people here who have going through their fair share of conflict even now. I pray for God's grace and mercy and patience and forgiveness and clarity of mind. I pray for people who are going to go enter in time of conflict, that they'll see and maybe put some of these things into practice and to slow down, to actively listen, to actually not get angry when it's so easy to get angry. Take some time out and then actually see it maybe from the other person's perspective. And I pray for those people who have gone through and they're still holding on those grudges to see God and how he wants us to behave and how to think and to act. And to have that powerful gift of giving someone that powerful thing of forgiveness. Let me pray for you. Father God, I just thank you so much for everyone here present. I thank you for your gift of your son Jesus. And I pray, Father God, that you help us all do much better in this life, to fulfill our God-given potential in every aspect of our roles and our responsibilities. And I pray, Holy God, you help us see things from your eye view. And I pray that we will act accordingly, speak accordingly, and think accordingly. I pray for that in your precious, most wonderful name. Amen.